Pastor Carrico, has agreed to speak for me during my absence. So scoot up your chair and lean in.
It all starts with a choice. You can have a new opportunity, and you can take what you have learned in Jesus and apply it, and God can do great things in your life. Oh, if I knew then what I know. Well, God will give you a new start, and you can use all that information. If I had it to do over again, I would do some things so differently. Well, you know what? God's going to give you a chance, and you're going to have a new start and a new opportunity. How many of you are thankful for the new opportunity Jesus gave us? He said, oh, all the things I would do and all the things I would change. Well, change them. God give you a new day. Do it. You can do it. All the people I would tell that I love. Well, you know what? Start today. God will give you a new day. Tell them you love them. Do all those things. There's a man's name in the Bible by the name of Saul that God changed his life. We know him as the Apostle Paul. Saul was a man, he was a Judaizer, he was a Pharisee of the same group of religious people that killed Jesus. He opposed this new religious sect they call the Way. And he just was guns, an up-and-coming, ambitious Jew who opposed in every way he could this new group of people that later would be called Christians. But man, the Lord looked down at him and said, you know what? I see this man's heart. How many of you know the Lord can look right through everything we are and see a heart? He looked at that man and he said, I see that man's heart. He's misled. He's going the wrong way. But I know he has a heart that wants to serve me. And he made himself known to him. He became a Christian believer. A great missionary, a great evangelist, a great church planter that traveled the world. And now we know him as the author of about two-thirds of the whole New Testament because God was able to look into his heart and said, that man is going to represent me among the Gentiles. Folks, I tell you what, God over this city today is looking at people. And he has a plan for them. How many of you really believe that? That God has a plan for people that don't even know they're so lost. But God still has a plan for them if they'll just say yes. He has a plan for them. And I want to tell them about it, man. I want to be a part of it. I thank God for Mark Mitchell and the outreach that he had yesterday. Jeff and all those that took part, so many from our church. Mark is preaching a homecoming this morning. But praise God that we're out there in the community telling people that Jesus died for them. I know what a lot of people are thinking. They're thinking that no one will believe them, no one will accept them, no one will ever get over everything that I've done and who I've been. Let me tell you something about that. Yes, they will. Folks, how many of you know that people will accept you? People will believe what God has done in your life. There are two things, if you will do, God will and people will accept you. Number one, you have to give it time. You know, you just have to let time and prove yourself. It takes time and proving yourself. If you will just continue to live for the Lord and give it time, people will accept you. People will see Jesus in your life. People will see God in your life. And not only will you be accepted, not only will people believe in you, you will become an inspiration. In the church, there's a word for it. You will become a testimony. And people will look to you and they'll say, man, can you believe what God has done in so-and-so's life? I'm not trying to make any of us feel uncomfortable, but every single one of us is a testimony. Come on, we'll just say amen. We didn't come to God all fixed up. We came to God in our sins, and the Lord loved us. He took us. He made us. He shaped us. And everything we are now is totally dedicated and given to him because he's done it all. And he paid the price. It's God that's working in us, not we in ourselves. Now, I must admit, there's probably a small segment of people out there that will never give up, man. There are some people, no matter, they'll never give you air in the jug. Come on, would you say amen? You got to let them go. You work with people like that. You know people like that. If you're looking for encouragement from them, probably never going to happen. Folks, you just have to let them go. The vast, vast majority of people will accept what God has done in your life and give thanks for it. Does it sound too good to be true that you can have a new beginning? Does it sound too good to be true? Well, it's what we call grace. It's what we call the forgiveness of God. It's what we call the kingdom of God. It's what we call hanging on a cross and looking down and saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he was willing to forgive us. It all starts with a choice. I made a choice to get saved the week of Thanksgiving, November 1975. Praise God. Some of you all hadn't discovered America in 1975. I was 15 years old at that point, in the 10th grade, not serving the Lord at all, but I got saved at a revival that we had in Banner, Virginia. What did I do when I made that choice? I made a choice to receive Jesus and to leave sin. I made a choice in my spirit, in my heart, when I went forward that night, I said, I'm not going to sin anymore. I'm going to do my best to quit sinning. Now, I'm going to talk about that in a moment because I did not become perfect. But I did make a choice that night, and it included a lot of things. It included, I'm going to have to probably gain some new friends. I'm probably going to have to separate myself from things that I know I'm doing that I know I can't do anymore. I made that choice, and I understood it when I made it. I am going to receive Jesus. I made a choice to follow Jesus. Before I got saved, I didn't follow Jesus. I had no thought process whatsoever of Jesus. I mean, I never thought of Jesus. Only when my mom and dad, every Sunday, we went to church and, you know, I'd go to Sunday school. But I didn't follow Jesus. But somehow in my mind at 15 years old, I said, I'm going to find out what this guy's all about. I think I'll read the Bible. Glory to God. What do you say? The first thing I did when I got saved is I took a spiral-bound notebook. And I started reading the Bible and making notes about what I read. Now, I didn't understand a lot of what I read. I tell you, the most confused I've ever been in my life was the first time I read the book of Revelation. What in the world? But you study. You buy commentaries. You get study helps. You learn. I didn't have a clue what I was reading when I first read it. A lot of the Gospels I didn't really fully understand. But I would make notes, and I would write, and I would think, and I would process. Don't you just love people that get saved and just say, man, I'm gonna pursue this thing. I'm going to pursue God. I decided I was going to follow Jesus. I decided I made a choice to put God first in my life. I want you to think about that for a moment. What happens when you make a choice, I'm going to put God first in my life? I started rearranging my schedule to put the things of God because suddenly they became important to me. And I started pursuing the things of God. Now, I want you to listen to this quote. To make a choice for God does not produce perfection. It produces a desire of the heart. It would be easy for you to hear me preach like that and you say, well, Pastor, man, you just turned everything around and, whoa, you got it all together just immediately right off the bat. Well, no, I didn't. I'm going to be honest with you. I still don't have it all together.
This is the end of part 2. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for the conclusion.